Support for this podcast comes from Lever, providing a modern take on the applicant tracking system. Lever combines ATS and CRM functionality into a single powerful platform to help you source, nurture, and manage your candidates all in one place. What's more, Lever's deceptively simple interface means that hiring managers and applicants love it too. To find out how Lever can help you both accelerate and humanize hiring, visit www.lever.co/recruit. That's www.lever.co/recruit. And Lever is spelt L-E-V-E-R. Lever, where ATS meets CRM.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 66 of the Recruiting Future podcast. The balance between global consistency and local nuance in recruitment marketing is a difficult one, and there's much debate about the best way to do it. My guest this week is John McCall, who oversees talent branding for Groupon in the EMEA region. Groupon has grown via acquisition in EMEA, creating a number of challenges with branding and marketing consistency. Enjoy the interview. Hi, John, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Matt. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm very good. It's Friday, so that must be a good thing.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that Friday feeling is just around the corner.
Totally. So could you introduce yourself and tell everyone who you work for and what you do?
Sure. My name is John McCall, and I work with Groupon. I'm based in the Dublin office, and I take care of our employer talent branding across the EMEA region.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what you mean by talent branding?
Yeah, I suppose in many respects, talent branding is an extension of marketing, and it is an area that has really come to the fore for a lot of medium and larger sized corporations in more recent years. I suppose at its core, I would see talent branding as being the marketing function of talent acquisition. So wherever a candidate wants to reach out and find out some information about what kind of a company we are to work for, investigate new roles, interact with us online, that really boils down to talent branding and how we position ourselves online and through all of the channels that are available to us, how we position ourselves as an employer of choice.
So I know that Groupon are in a lot of different countries. Could you sort of give us a bit of background to what that looks like and the challenges it causes for you?
Yeah, I suppose EMEA, so Europe, Middle East, Africa, is a particularly diverse market, and that's not just true of Groupon, but I'd say for many companies internationally who operate on a global level. I mean, within the EMEA region alone, we operate in all of the main languages, so French, English, German, Spanish, Polish, Italian, all of the main European languages, we have operations in and operations in those countries. So what that does is that presents challenges in terms of developing content and developing a message that has, I suppose, the core and the central truth of what we're trying to say to candidates, but also allow for some nice local variations and allow for that local feeling.
I think that's always interesting because I know that's a challenge that lots of different companies have, and people tend to sort of have different approaches to dealing with it. I mean, how do you guys deal with it? Is it something that's coming centrally? Is it something that comes locally? It's a mixture. Is it a mixture of the two? If it is, how does that mixture work?
Well, that's a good question, actually, and it's an area that has been front of mind for us in Groupon now, particularly over the past, say, 14 to 16 months. I suppose for context, to explain a little bit, Groupon in North America grew organically and grew, you know, very quickly. At one point, Groupon was quoted by Forbes as being the quickest growing company in history. And so brand awareness within North America is exceptionally high, and pretty much everybody you speak to knows who Groupon is and what they offer. The story in EMEA is slightly different insofar as Groupon grew mostly through bolt-on acquisition within the EMEA region. And there were various different companies offering a similar type product offering. Which Groupon then went on and purchased. There was a rebranding. And so that's how Groupon grew a lot within the EMEA region. But what that translated into was that each of those individual companies that were bought up had their own web presence. They had their own recruitment channels. They had their own LinkedIn page, their own career site. And there was a very, very wide network of social channels, too wide as it was. And so a big project that we launched maybe about 14 months ago was a consolidation project where we were going to bring all of our channels slowly together and have one single central source of truth that candidates, irrespective of where they were coming from, could reach out and engage with us and know that whatever they were interacting with and whatever story they were hearing was the actual truth. I mean, I suppose I think at one point we had 16 or 17 different company pages on LinkedIn, and each of those was a very difficult piece to maintain on their own. So the problem was that they weren't being maintained quickly enough and regularly enough. So we were able to pull it all together into one centralized piece, and it means that we can do it on a much more regular basis and make sure that the information to hand is always accurate and up to the minute.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because I think a problem that I think for lots of companies is having too many social profiles and not being able to, you know, to manage them and keep that consistency. How do you deal with the fact that you're covering different countries and different languages and presumably different recruitment needs?
Well, I think in a company like Groupon, you have to be, because we have such a wide and varied base of people. I suppose Groupon at its core is a local company. We're a local company operating on a global scale. So what that means in reality is that the bulk of the people who work with us are engaged in the local market. So they speak the local language. They're engaged in going out, finding local vendors and local merchant opportunities and working there. So we need to look at content and product delivery that we can deliver in such a way that scalable in different languages. And I suppose a prime example of that would be our recruitment video. And we've all seen very different types of recruitment videos that are exceptionally highly produced, look very expensive, very corporate in their appearance, and generally all through English. And that wasn't really going to suit our model. We're a much more dynamic, less formal kind of a company. And that corporate, that very strict corporate way of doing things wasn't really going to suit us. Also, bear in mind, we needed to be able to run a video in 7 or 8 different languages. So we decided to opt for a motion graphics version where we actually had our company mascot is the Space Cat, which is a cat that sits in a flying saucer in HQ in Chicago. So we took that as our mascot and built out a 90-second, maybe 2-minute short video, and then did voiceover in various different languages to it. And we were able to tell our message to an awful lot of different markets by tweaking and changing slight changes within the actual text itself, and then doing it in various different languages. So that's an example of how we were able to take a product and internationalize it for our needs, but still allow for a local variation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what are your sort of main channels? What channels are you marketing in and pushing your message out? And what's working for you across the region?
Well, I suppose we have a couple of really main primary channels that we use. So first and foremost would be our jobs.groupon.com, which is our brand new website. And previously we had each region geographically, and in some instances, even within those regions, there would be further careers websites. And what we did over the course of the past 18 months, we brought our brand new global website online, which is jobs.groupon.com. And candidates, irrespective of where they are on a global level, can navigate to this site, and content will be served to them based on their geographical location. So say, for example, somebody is in Paris and wants to see if there are sales roles available to them. They will have local content served them, local videos, local blogs, the actual back-end systems pick up the fact that this person is viewing from a European region, and then will serve them jobs that are closest to them by geography as well. So it's quite a dynamic and quite a responsive platform, and that has been online now for the past couple of months and is already proving, you know, a very valuable asset to the company. Also, we use LinkedIn is a very important piece of the pie for us. So on a global level, we have a couple of substantial company pages. We have within EMEA, we have the Groupon EMEA page on LinkedIn, which is where candidates can go and see, you know, a variety of various different roles that are available at any given stage. Again, spread across geographies, spread across functions. And the benefits of the LinkedIn platform as well is that, you know, if somebody is in the engineering space and they view our careers page, their profile pre-selects them to be served engineering content. So the actual platform itself is also quite dynamic, that we can specialize content on the back end that will be served directly to people based on what their profile looks like. And then within that, again, whatever language their profile happens to be written in, that content can appear in that language as well.
So it's about centralization, but it's about targeting and personalization within that. Okay, that's really very interesting, actually. So how else do you use the social channels? Do you do social advertising? Is there some sort of specific country-specific marketing that you do within that?
Yeah, I suppose that we, not that long ago, we embarked on our first foray into advertising on Facebook for recruitment purposes. I mean, Groupon has long been a big fan of the Facebook platform in terms of advertising to our consumers. But in terms of reaching out to candidates, we had never really tested the waters there. So as part of the hiring initiative that we were running earlier this year, we took a split testing in AB format for our video, our Space Cap recruitment video, which I spoke about a little bit earlier, and also one of the screenshots from it. So we ran a sample with an image and a sample with the video content, and worked on a targeting basis for, we were looking for graduates in the London area, with third level qualification and background in sales or retail. And we were able to really get quite granular on the targeting level. And again, not the, we had some very, very good results for us. We got some very good quality candidates into the pipeline, brought them in for our graduate assessment days, and I think overall we had a very positive experience. Our click-through rates were very good. Our cost per media was good as well. So in terms of those key metrics that many people will be familiar with, and the ones that will actually set the scene for whether an online campaign can be described as successful or not, we were very happy with.
You mentioned that a kind of an overly corporate marketing approach isn't kind of really the essence of your business. Do you sort of use employees' stories to give an authentic view about what it's like to work at Groupon? How do you kind of differentiate and brand yourself?
Sure. Well, I suppose one of our core values within Groupon is the fact that great people make great companies. And we really try to bring that to life through any of the interactions that we have with our candidates. And to be able to put flesh on the bones of that statement, what we ask some of our employees to do, various different employees from various parts of the business and various levels of seniority, is to tell us their story in their own words. I mean, we will serve guiding questions and those kind of things, but it's very much somebody's own experience of how they came to Groupon and what their thoughts are. So we run a regular blog series, and it's on our jobs.groupon.com, and people can log on there and, you know, read blogs from people who have recently started as graphics design interns or recent sales graduates within the London market. We have operations in Casablanca where we have editorial and customer service, where we also had people writing blogs there. And they're available also in English and in the local languages as well. So what that does is it gives a little bit of authenticity. I think there's nothing more believable, I suppose, than hearing it directly from the horse's mouth. And, you know, if people themselves are happy to stand up and have their story told, I think that's a great endorsement of of the work-life balance here in Bhopal. And then added to that, what we also try and do is do short video interviews with our key business leaders, talking about the wider, more strategic end of things. So recently, Julie Sudarek, who is the president of our operations in EMEA, she was talking about, you know, who she really believes is the kind of person who succeeds at Groupon. And that can be distilled down into one phrase that she said, you need to be somebody who can embrace change and get right into the details, because this company does move quickly. And if you're the kind of person who's good with change and can adapt too quickly, then you will forge yourself a very substantial career here.
Now, I know a number of companies who are facing the sort of the same global local issues that you guys have been dealing with. What advice would you give to someone who's in the same position, but say, you know, 12 to 18 months behind you? You know, how should they get started? What would really make it work for them?
Well, I think the absolute priority, first off, is to do a bit of an audit of where you are. I think it's very difficult to know where your talent brand should go until you know where it is. And the idea of talent brand is in and of itself quite nebulous. It's hard to kind of quantify what it is. But I think first and foremost, as I said, an audit to find out, you know, exactly how many Twitter accounts do we have going, how many Facebook pages, what is, you know, on an anecdotal level, take a temperature check of how your brand is perceived in the various different markets you operate in. And that's done very simply by chatting to the recruiters, chatting to people who have recently started within the organization. And once you have a reasonably clear picture and, you know, marketing 101, the SWOT analysis, that you can identify where your strengths lie and where your opportunities are as well. And then after that, I think you need to start identifying what main channels you want to use on a social perspective and how you want to try and engage your candidates. And I think after that, you know, it's a case of having your story and being quite consistent and quite clear. I think what is a big failure, and it's seen time and time again, is that companies often don't connect between what the message is coming out of talent acquisition in terms of trying to reach out to candidates and what other parts of the business are saying. So it becomes a lot of noise and it's mixed messaging for candidates. So I think within the company there needs to be a strong sense of collaboration, and that there's a universal sense of buy-in, that talent brand is very important. And, you know, in Groupon, that really is top-down. And that is hugely important. You know, your talent brand won't really go very far at all unless you've got it ingrained within the business that this is very important to us in terms of the overall strategic direction. And, you know, once that's explained to a business that, you know, this improves, you know, the overall quality of candidates coming through and the longevity of their tenure, then that's a very easy sell to make to any part of the business.
So what's next? What are you sort of working towards? How is the strategy going to pan out over the next sort of 12 to 18 months?
Well, yeah, great question. I suppose long term for Groupon, we're at a very exciting stage within the company. We've had a couple of years of exceptional growth, and now we're at the stage where we're really trying to shape that. So we are continuing to try and drive that message that we're a very dynamic place to work, that we are looking for people who will come in and maybe try and shake things up a bit, and that they've got to be gregarious and, you know, able to deal with change on a rapid basis. But also in terms of a nuts and bolts end of things, in terms of how we present ourselves, we will move further and further towards that idea of having a more globalized presence in how we present ourselves. And that has largely already been accomplished, or a major part of that has been accomplished with our jobs.groupon.com, which took all of the old websites down, and we have a nice single centralized presence. And that will slowly continue across all of our various social channels over the next 12 to 18 months.
And final question, there's obviously lots of innovation going on in recruiting and recruitment marketing in particular at the moment, with, you know, technology and various platforms and things that are coming onto the market. What have you got your eye on? What's most interesting to you? Where do you think the future is for recruitment marketing?
Well, I think Great question, actually, because there are so many different parts to that. Very definitely, there's two things that are jumping at the moment for us, anyway. We're starting to see real benefits from the likes of really engaging on social media. Not that long ago, we ran a Q&A on Twitter with a company in the UK called Milkrant. And that's where candidates could come online, ask questions to either hiring managers or recruiters or recent starts in those roles, and really get a real flavour for what the job is like. So that sort of immediate ability to chat openly and honestly online is a big area that will be a key focus for us as we move forward. But also video. I mean, time and time again, any metrics that you look at, video, and particularly video off mobile platform, you know, people like blogs once they're a certain way down the line that they are interested in the company. But in terms of generating an initial grab, video is a very important place for us as we move forward. And when I say video, I don't mean very fancy produced video. I think something that looks very authentic and was filmed by somebody themselves, which is how we like to do it. I think that's going to be very important for us. So definitely video content as we move forward.
John, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Matt.
My thanks to John McCall. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or via your podcasting app of choice. Just search for Recruiting Future. You can also find all the past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.